on ABC Radio. I'm Sarah Howells, and I have a question for you. Do you have a will? And if you do, does that cover your digital life, your social media accounts, your email passwords, that code to unlock your phone? I actually heard from someone just yesterday whose father had recently died, and he hadn't left any instructions from this side of stuff. Because it's not really something, I guess, that we think about. And this woman needed to get into his phone to tell his friends that he'd passed. Didn't have the passcode, so couldn't get the numbers. She needed to get into his social media to get his friends' contact details, to update his page. Didn't have the password. And she had absolutely no idea what he wanted done with any of that data, any of those social media accounts. And look, it might not be something that you've thought about, but a Gen Y lawyer is warning us that we really should get that sorted. Courtney Lockett, hello. Courtney, are you there? Let's see if we can find Courtney. Hi, Courtney, are you there? I think we've lost Courtney.
Yes, hello, how are you going?
There we go, hello.
Oh, sorry, no worries.
Great to have you here. Now, a will, it's something that some of us have, some of us don't. At what age should we be making sure we have our will ready to go?
Anyone over 18 really should have a will, Sarah.
Okay.
So there seems to be a bit of a common misconception amongst millennials and Gen Yers that they don't need a will, usually because they think they don't own anything, they're maybe not going anywhere anytime soon, someone else might deal with it after they pass away. Or the main one is Gen Yers generally think that they haven't accumulated enough wealth, you know, to justify having a will. But this isn't the case at all. You know, usually people in their 20s and 30s have accumulated superannuation with their employer, they have a motor vehicle, potentially some, you know, leave entitlements with their employer, some level of savings, whether it be, you know, towards a holiday or towards a house deposit, it all adds up. But as you've pointed out, a lot of Gen Yers actually have a digital estate. So, you know, as you said earlier, you know, they have social media accounts, their Facebook, their Twitter, their Instagram, email, apps on their phone, reward points, online subscriptions, and so on. So even just having this digital asset base should be the catalyst for anyone over 18 to get a will so that these assets are dealt with after they pass away.
How many wills do you see that actually consider our digital lives?
Not many, not enough, to be honest with you, not enough. Quite often, you know, the Gen Yers that I see on a day-to-day basis, they usually only come to me because they've just bought a house or because they've had children. And it's only when I say to them, well, have you, you know, considered what happens to your social media afterwards, that they go, oh, no, we didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I've got to admit, it's something that I have never thought about at all.
No, see, previously, you know, important documents like, you know, photos and memorabilia, you know, we'd put away in a photo album or put in a filing cabinet. But now we have a pretty complete record of our life out, you know, out there online, which is quite scary. You know, when you think of all the photos and everything that you put up, you know, on your social media and whatnot. So, you know, by providing what is for to happen to your digital estate in your will, it means that you reduce the risk of your social media accounts being hacked or hijacked, you know, later on once you've passed away.
So is there an easy way to make a will, or do you have to go to a lawyer to get it done?
Absolutely. There are, you know, many different ways to do a will. There are many platforms available. I mean, you've obviously got your post office will, which we generally get asked about quite often. You can go to, you know, the public trustee in your local state, or you can go to a lawyer. But it's certainly a very easy process. I know for, you know, many Gen Ys or millennials, you know, if they haven't been to a lawyer before, it can be quite daunting. And it can certainly be a bit awkward talking about death as well. But it really is quite as simple as, you know, having one consultation with a lawyer or filling out a will instruction form and sending back to them. It's, you know, it can be very straightforward. It can be cost effective and quite simple. It really doesn't need to be expensive or complicated, just to make sure that, you know, you've taken control of your own life and your own assets as to what happens to them when you pass away.
Courtney Lockett is our guest on ABC Radio. Now, talking about our online, our digital world, what sort of things should we include in our will around that side of our life?
So ideally, your will should really define what your digital assets are and what digital accounts you have, and also include powers for your executor or your administrator to manage them when you pass away. It also should include, you know, where you do have digital assets that are transferable to a beneficiary who you would obviously like to receive those digital assets. Something that's really important as well in that process is to check with all of, you know, your various social media accounts and decide what you want to have done. You know, do you want to keep them alive or memorialized, or do you want to have them shut down? And as you mentioned earlier, you know, provide passwords to your executor and update them as they change, so that someone can actually, you know, access your social media accounts when you do pass away to fulfill your wishes. And also things like reward schemes. You know, if you do subscribe to, you know, Velocity frequent flyers or any of those sort of schemes, it's really worth looking into each one to find out whether or not they're transferable to a different person on your death, or whether they essentially die with you. And it's not really uncommon for any points to simply just be cancelled, or to have a, you know, a license that ends on your death for, you know, downloading music or ebooks or things like that.
Hmm. So I know, you know, a lot of people who pass away and then their Facebook page, say, just becomes almost a memorial to them, incidentally, because they haven't left any other instructions. But if we don't have a will, or we don't include our digital footprint in it, what are the risks that we're up against?
Well, the main issue that you have is that with things like your Facebook account, it essentially remains in limbo. And when an account is in limbo, it means that it's easier to be hacked. So, you know, it can be quite unsettling if you receive a like on one of your posts from someone who's, you know, passed away 12 months ago. And, you know, identity theft is an increasingly important issue that we face in society now. And it's one of the biggest threats, you know, that comes from criminals stealing the identity of someone who has passed away while their account is in limbo.
Okay. I mean, it's a big decision, right? Choosing who to hand this information over to, because often our social media accounts and emails contain some pretty private stuff. How do you decide who to give power over your digital accounts to when you pass away?
Well, I mean, I guess the obvious answer is someone that you trust, you know, that they've got to be trustworthy. And, you know, usually we tell a lot of our clients to, you know, appoint someone as their executor or trustee, or if you want to appoint a different person as administrator for your social media accounts after you've passed away, usually someone who's, you know, younger than you, so that they're not going to pass away before you. Again, someone who you can trust, someone who you know will fulfill your wishes. It may be that you do just want your account shut down, but you might, if you do want to keep it open as a bit of a memorial, you know, maybe you want to dictate to them, you know, what you would like to have up there. Mm. So the options are fairly endless, but ultimately it comes down to someone that you trust. And obviously, if you're changing your passwords fairly regularly, you're going to need to keep updating that person. Or if you find that you can't trust that person anymore, you obviously change your password and provide a new one to someone else who you do want to appoint, at which case obviously you'd want to update your will as well.
Yeah. And how specific can we get with our requests in our will? Oh, can we make a rule that, you know, you give the password to someone but they can't read any of your messages? Is something like that binding?
Oh, you can put it in there as a wish. It doesn't mean that it will necessarily remain binding. You can't, yeah, it's very difficult to control that, obviously, from the grave. But,
yes. Yeah,
you can certainly put in as many, you know, wishes as you would like.
All right. Well, it's certainly something to think about, and it's really important to get our will up to date. I need to update mine, so this has given me a good reminder, Courtney, and I don't have anything in there about my digital side of my life, so I will now pop it in. Courtney Lockett, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.